Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome in, friends, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Chris Welsh. That is Jake Seeley, and we got some waivers for you. Week 13 waivers back in the house. We're getting y'all prepped back on a normal schedule. Unfortunately, the three best friends that anyone ever had are not together today. It is just the two of us. Jake, it was good to have our little reunion, though, in the last episode, if people were able to catch it, with all three back on the stage. You and Funston poking back at each other. It really is a great time, and I do miss it, but... I do enjoy our quality time together.
I was going to say, we might have it back because we're about, two shows away from waivers not being relevant anymore. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You just condense down to one show.
Yeah. What do you do when the fantasy playoffs come in? Do you still kind of hit the waivers in general, or does it kind of fade away? Because it does, the concept of like big league wide waivers do fade away. It becomes more about like playoff pickups.
Well, yeah, but you still have to have those, and there might be an injury or something that does pop up. But yeah, waivers, I keep going all the way up until week 18. And week 18 actually matters probably more than 16 and 17 because it's all those players that you didn't know were going to get rested. And you never know until that point. So that's actually more interesting than 2 weeks before that. So, but we could do like week 16, 17 combined shows. Like, hey, if you have waivers, this is like the two or three names that, because that's what it comes down to. Like, is anybody going to really make a difference at that point?
Yeah. Well, also to what you're saying too, it's kind of like, are you one of those psychos that plays through week 18? Because I'm firm not play till the end, but there are a lot
there's
of people.
There's no week 17 before this. There's no week 18 now because there's no way of predicting who's going to get rested.
There's so many people out there, though. They love that. They want to play the last week, and the last week is chaos. It's chaos. To your point,
DFS.
Like, yeah, I agree. Don't tell me. I agree. Go play.
Do a one and done draft. That's fun. Yeah. You can draft again. I always tell people, like, people love draft, then go draft again. Do a 1 week draft.
Fine. Yeah, do like a maybe break your season into two pieces if you want to and pay it out. I don't know. You can play around with it. But we are talking about waivers today. Jake's article is over on The Athletic. And I hope you took advantage of the Black Friday sales that they had going on over at The Athletic. Not saying there's still anything active, but, you know, you don't have a subscription. Maybe go over and just see what everything looks like. If not, you want to make sure you do have a subscription one way or the other, because that's how you're going to get access to Jake's ranks and his waiver wire column outside of like a gajillion other awesome stuff. So make sure you go and check it out today over at theathletic.com. It was a very underwhelming week 12. I don't know. It was like a symphony of perfection with that Vikings and Bears game at the end. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen. And I thought it was very telling to the weekend because I felt like there were a lot of unders, and outside of like Kyren Williams, like there were just so many underperformances. And then that game was like teasing you with Jordan Addison, huge breakouts, a gajillion picks. It was just bad, bad football. And I feel like there's a bad taste in our mouth coming into this week. And also, you're going to have to tell me otherwise as we go through this, but I feel like, I was telling Bogman this, we have a week where A, running backs stink compared to what's available in wide receivers, but I feel like there are more solidified running back situations than there have been at any point this season. Like, there might be a couple that are a little bit washy, like the Panthers fired Frank Reich, and maybe Miles Sanders is going to be more up there, but I just don't feel like there's enough speculation in the running back market.
No, the running back, the waivers are basically picked clean. I don't know, I'm trying to think of a way to put it, but it's the same names from last week, which I don't think we have to like spend too much time. We can kind of almost even just, instead of doing our normal top five, just kind of talk about them, because it's a lot of the same names, a lot of timeshares and backups. The only stuff that really helps this week is that wide receiver. And part of it, because like you said, during the buys, is Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs are on a bye. And then you have messy backfield. So it's not even like there's like a lot here that's even going to affect the rankings too much, probably when you talk to Funston, because you're only missing two big names. And then, like I said, a bunch of from like 25 to 40.
And that's the other thing I didn't mention, too. It's Bipocalypse 2.0 with six teams. So we went from like, like two teams and then nothing on Thanksgiving weekend and then six. And
don't forget about two next week as well.
It's crazy. I can't even believe in week 14, we're going to still have bye weeks going on. That's insane. So
two things about that is like, why, how many times do we have to say, like, why can't you just do 8 weeks of four teams? Like, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Just do that. And then I saw the commercial over the weekend where it was like AWS and all their algorithms and database systems and blah, blah, blah. The schedule used to take months for them to make, and now it takes minutes as the set web services. So how have people not know what AWS was? Because I tweeted it out. I said, oh, so we shouldn't blame Goodell. We should blame AWS for not being able to make a damn schedule with 8 weeks of four teams on a bye. And people are like, what's AWS? Like, really? That was pretty common knowledge at this point, what AWS was.
Well, I mean, like, you think, but people are just not in tune to all of it. I mean, I completely agree with you.
Don't forget, your best friend did a little bit of a small voiceover for one of their commercials about 5 or 6 years ago.
What?
Mike Wright. Mike Wright caught the touchdown.
Did he really?
Yeah, you didn't remember that? He voiced over one of the touchdowns on one of their little highlights. This is pre... There you go.
Yeah,
I was waiting. That's what I was setting you up for.
Yeah. Well, I did. My actual best friend is Scott Bogman. So I was like, what? I was like, Bogman voiced a Amazon commercial? That's crazy. That's totally crazy. Well, good for him. That's awesome. That's, maybe he can speak to somebody then. Maybe he's a more relevant voice to speak to someone. Yeah, get that fixed, please. I was almost going to gloss over it, but the firing of Frank Reich has me kind of jumped up a little bit on the Miles Sanders train. I am curious at your take on it. We're going to see your ranks coming up here on Wednesday, but I am, and maybe it's like fleety brain. I'm not like, oh, Polly, like things could be better. But there's a part of me that feels like with the really overhaul fire, and they also fired running back and assistant coach Deuce Staley, all those guys gone. There was so much hype up of Miles Sanders. Do you think, you know, whatever the new interns are going to be, they'll unleash and get us back to Miles Sanders and he can be back to relevance? Like, he's way too owned, which actually surprised me here, but I do think there are leagues he might be sitting out there. I guess really it's just like, are you going to like take the risk of trust to Miles Sanders?
Did they fix their offensive line?
Clearly not. No.
Okay. There you go. End of statement.
Well, no, but that's not my question. My question is the usage. They gave him five touches.
I don't care about that. That's what my point is. I don't care about the use. Like, this is, unless they went back to Miles Sanders 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Like no appeal in this backfield. And honestly, this is Adam Thielen's probably last chance. I know he just had a pretty good week 2 weeks ago. Now, I guess if you kind of say week 11 is 2 weeks ago, but people are like, oh, what do I do with Adam Thielen? I was like, 2 weeks ago, it wasn't bad. The last four games haven't been what we were excited for earlier this year. But if they don't like click this week, I'm not saying go out there and look amazing. But if you got this matchup here at Tampa Bay, here's the problem. This is why I kind of even joked about the offensive line. They're not going to run. Nobody runs against Tampa Bay.
No.
Like outside of like maybe Christian McCaffrey. But it just doesn't happen. And so I don't think Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard are any kind of interest. Even if you told me today, if you said, hey, Jake, I know this. I actually talked to that team and they're telling me Miles Sanders is going to get the ball 80% of the time and Chuba Hubbard's done. I'd still be like, nah, he's facing the Bucs. Still don't care. Like that's my point about that. But the Buccaneers pass defense is beyond the worst. It is the worst of the worst of the worst. And if Bryce Young, Adam Thielen, and maybe even Mingo can't get a little bit going against them, then the coaching change really isn't going to change anything. They basically got rid of 90% of the staff.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the thing. Maybe it was part of like there's very little interest in running backs in the waiver market. There is in wide receivers, and maybe we would have, you know, newfound glory coming out of a coach being fired and usage changing. But you know, that also sets us up. I thought like, oh my gosh, you know, Matt Canada's gone, then the Steelers are going to completely retransform, and they didn't. They just like did more Najee Harris. You know, they just committed to us and they told us, oh, well, no, this is going to be Najee and Jalen. It's not going to be more Jalen at all. That didn't happen. One other thing I do want to ask you about before we get into this is Keaton Mitchell. We saw a whole bunch of Keaton Mitchell this past week. I think he led in snaps, which was really good. And there are just some notes out there, Todd Monken talking about how much more comfortable they're getting with Keaton Mitchell. How comfortable are you going to be with him this coming week? This is another one of those guys that was like this pseudo wavery guy that floated around that probably no one felt super comfortable starting, but in a, and I guess they're on bye week, so it doesn't matter this week, but like coming off of a bye week, how comfortable are you going to be with Keaton Mitchell?
Not at all. It's a full blown committee. No, Justice Hill was getting goal line attempts. And that was what the frustrating part was, is like, why are we not doing Gus Edwards? I was, you know, banking on another touchdown for Gus Edwards, and that didn't happen because they went Justice Hill two times in a row, and then the third time mixed in there. And like, man, Gus Edwards probably could have scored on at least two of those. And Keith Mitchell was the lead, but that's why you're really going to trust, not saying you, but really going to trust that that's ever going to continue going forward when you have three options on a team that continues to use all three. He's the lead, but what does that mean? Like, okay, you could finish top 10, just as likely could finish RB for you. Like, I'm excited that he's going to get the opportunities, but any given week, it's just, and he's not, the biggest thing is he's not going to be the goal line option. It's Gus Edwards and Justice. Yeah. Justice Hill gets as much as Gus Edwards sometimes. Keaton Mitchell's not going to be the one. He's now third in that opportunity standpoint.
Which is super frustrating. Like, the three-headed back is what kills me. Seeing Justice Hill out there kills me. It's just like, give us Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell every single week, please. Understand. Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, so let's we will talk about the waivers, and we can do exactly what you said. I do want to leave the bottom two guys. Let's talk about the top three, because these guys have been here for a long time on this waiver list in different degrees of how long. We only talk about a portion of what Jake puts on his article. That's why you want to go and check out the full article, because it is robust and there are lots of options, because people could play that game like, oh, well, this guy is not available. Well, guess what? Jake gives you tons of options. There will be guys that are available. The top three, these dudes have been here all season long. Zach Charbonnet is at the very tippy top, Tyler Allgeier at two, and Antonio Gibson at three. I tend to think Gibson's a little bit different than those top two, but they are what they are. You know, Zach Charbonnet got the brunt of it without Ken Walker, but it was against the Niners. But, you know, what is your expectation when Ken Walker is back and what it looks like for Charbonnet? Because it might look eerily like Tyler Allgeier.
It could be also that, and the fact that it's a timeshare even worse than that. 50-50, 55-45, it could be the Steelers. That's the concern here. I guess that's the upside of Charbonnet, is that he's getting that kind of work where he wasn't usable, but that's also the downside potentially for Kenneth Walker. And also, hey, you don't want 55-45 against the Dallas Cowboys. That's going to be frustrating, but you would take the one likely to see a little bit more passing game use in Charbonnet, although he's been inconsistent in that as well. So if Kenneth Walker's back, I mean, I already this started on the week rankings and the game previews, and I'll even give you the first line out of that. If Kenneth Walker's back, he's a risky RB2, Charbonnet, and RB3. James Conner, just so you know, is the only running back to top 69 rushing yards or 85 total yards against the Cowboys this season. The only one. How's that for a number?
That is a number, and that's a not good number again for these Seattle running backs. I mean, that's the lack of excitement that I get. Because
I told you to look at their schedule and gave you the list of names, how long would it have taken you to get to James Conner was the one that did it?
Oh, I'm not James Conner, because I'm so anti, like, Cardinals outside of Trey McBride, like there's very little that interests me. So like having to get there. And also if you would have just had me guess, I would have literally never gotten there. We would have done the entire show of me guessing. Been like blah 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 blah. That would be my guest train all the way until James Conner. But there's a lot of excitement around Charbonnet, though. People are like, hey, it's time. This is a league winner. And it's like, I don't think it's a league winner because it is pure timeshare. And you're just battling, like, how much do you trust these offenses against certain matchups to get a certain amount of carries? And I know that sounded weird how I said that, but it's like Jaylen Warren. Well, the Steelers offense kind of stinks. And if they're against a really tough match lineup, he's kind of a risky play even at this point because Najee Harris is so ingrained. So actually, I think that Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris comp makes a little bit more sense, and it's just brutal matchups after brutal matchups. But he is still the tippy top because we know what it could be. Algier, same thing. What gets you going with Antonio Gibson, though? I lack excitement with him in general.
What do you mean? What gets me? Like, what's wrong with him? He's what he is. He's an RB3, half and full point PPR, and in a game, if Sam Howell's throwing 50 times, which he should against the Dolphins, he's playable. He's probably more play. If you told me Kenneth Walker's back, I'd play him over Charbonnet. I'd play Antonio Gibson over Charbonnet
for the catching upside, right?
Yeah, just for this. It has to do with, like, Gibson has been really reliable when he's been healthy ever since about, I think it was week 5, somewhere around there, where he finally got on track and he was like 7, 8, 9, 10 points every single week, and especially in games where Howell's throwing a ton. So, like I said, that's what it just comes down to, is facing the Dolphins. I expect the Dolphins to be, oh, here, you want another nugget from the ranks column? Look at this. You're getting column nuggets before they even, like, how about this? The Dolphins have the 8th highest point differential in the first half. So plus 30 in the first half. Commanders, 5th lowest, minus 62. What does that point to? They're going to be playing from behind. Very simple.
I like that stat. The Commanders will be playing from behind. Yes, I think we got there. I agree with that. Yes. Before we go to these next guys, I do want to mention it's not breaking news, but this news just came out. It came out like 3 minutes ago, but I didn't want to stop the train of conversation. Ian Rappaport reports that Jonathan Taylor suffered a thumb injury and is requiring further evaluation, and is now saying, he quotes, puts his status in doubt going forward, sources say. More info coming with all options considered. So I think it's pretty transparent what it would be for us is if Jonathan Taylor's gone, it's the Zach Moss show again. And Zach Moss is everything. And I get your take on it. I mean, there's no like crazy evaluation we have to do because, like I said, there's 2 points of straightforward. If Jonathan Taylor's healthy, guess what? We're back to a top 10 back. Zach Moss is kind of an afterthought. But if Taylor misses time, how high would you move Zach Moss up?
In the waiver column?
No, not in the waiver. This is kind of more of a ranky thing because it's just happening right now. Like, where do you think?
Because I was going to say waiver column and Zach Moss number one and then number two and then number three.
Well, what is his ownership right now? I think there's a decent chance he's been cut.
Actually live just checked because live while we're doing this with this breaking news, I'm updating him from 8th. On the waiver wire because he was the first man up. That is the next man up section where it's like, hey, this is the person that steps up if somebody goes down. He was in front of Daddle and Zeke and Gainwell and everything like that. He's now going to put at number one. So I'm updating right now because he's 49%.
Oh, so he qualified. Okay, so he qualifies. Yeah. So that's breaking news. Zach Moss officially the number one. And we actually, this kind of changes the market. Even if his thumb is going to be like okay-ish, you have very little time. You have to speculate. Zach Moss, without question, is now the number one waiver. And, I mean, do you think top 12 RB on the week?
If this week, yes. With everybody available, probably not.
So, but at least he's going to be like a mid RB2. Let's just hypothetically, worst case scenario, no one wants to see it, but Jonathan Taylor misses the rest of the year with this thumb. Zach Moss is
top 15 guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah. So like at least like high end mid RB2 with maybe certain situations of jumping up to an RB1 because we see some of the explosiveness that's still out there. It's just been nothing but Jonathan Taylor. So we'll keep an eye on that. Like I said, as we're recording this, is like, 10 minutes fresh.
He might hear me typing in the background.
Yeah. I can hear you going. And you know, as you guys are listening to this, this is probably along the lines of like, you know, an hour or two. So keep an eye on that one. But regardless, you don't have a choice but to go and put the claim on Zach Moss, whatever the outcome is going to be, if he is sitting out there, because that's the league winning type of stuff. When you get a back that can be a top 15 back in week 13, that's where leagues are won.
I'm thinking of the places where I have Zach Moss because nobody would trade for him. Like, oh, well, there you go. Cool. You're like, I never dropped them because of this. Well, because this is what I'm saying. You were talking about, you alluded at the beginning of the show. You're saying, what do we talk about for waivers in weeks 15, 16, 17? Waivers should be like, we're getting to the point where you start planning defenses, a second defense, because there's very few that have a matchup for the rest of the season where you're like, I'm playing that defense. But then you start thinking about having a backup quarterback just in case your guy gets hurt and you don't want to start Jake Browning in your championship game. And then backup tight end, maybe. But this is also where now we get to the point where, you know, if Jerry Jeudy's been sitting on your bench, what, like, even if Cortland Sutton gets hurt, really, is it going to go up that much because of what Jeudy is and that offense is? Like, so my point being is now you start dropping wide receiver sixes for your immediate backups. Like, if Algier is sitting out there and you have Bijan, get him. Like, normally I'm not a handcuff guy, but this is the time of year where you start handcuffing, because this is what happens. It's like, you lose Jonathan Taylor, you go get Zach Moss, and have other people's handcuffs too. Like, Elijah Mitchell sitting out there, Elijah Mitchell at this point of the season, there is no way on earth I'm letting him sit on waivers anymore.
That's a great, great point. And by the way, I was going to say, that's that old classic you get to do, the like, how the turntables. That's what you got to do on everybody. But I completely agree. And it's probably such an alarming turn face where everybody the entire season is like, we got this potential. It's the Charbonnets. It's the Keaton Mitchells. Now you can start playing this boring world of like, well, probably got to pick up Josh Kelly and got to pick up Eli Mitchell. And, you know, you got to have these guys that are cuffed to big RB situations. They shouldn't be left out on the wire for this exact reason. And, you know, we might look back on this. This might literally be one of those league winning situations that change. If,
like, think about waivers next week, if Christian McCaffrey got hurt.
And you know, people are fighting for their $11 left in fab or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, to get Christian McCaffrey. I completely agree. It would be. And don't, by the way, don't put that evil out in the world. Don't put that Christian McCaffrey evil out.
I know. I said it. I said it twice. You hate me now.
I know. Don't like it. Don't say it a third time. It's like Beetlejuice. Don't do it, please. So
I was thinking Bloody Mary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's where our brains go. You go that. I would have thought you would have thought Beetlejuice, and I would have been.
No, I go darker.
One. Yeah, you do go darker. I'm like Beetlejuice.
I was all huge right on Supernatural, the TV show, and I still remember that episode.
I was too, but I dipped after, and I don't dip shows. That's a thing about me, and that's what's frustrating. Is like when I commit to a show, I'm like, I'm going to do this, but Supernatural is like a gajillion years. There's like 11 or 14 seasons or something. I got through like six. And I was like, I can't do this WB monster of the week type of thing. I wanted to, because I like to follow the storylines. I enjoyed it for a period of time, but then that was actually the very first show I ever dipped out on. I was like, nope, I'm done, because it was
too
much.
When did you dip?
I think it was like season 5 or 6.
Oh, the Leviathans? Is that when you dipped?
I don't remember anything.
No. There were some down seasons in there, and it came back around.
Yeah.
For somebody that was invested in Supernatural, I think I'll go back. I'll text you, like, for everybody out there. Go watch it. It's a great show. It's a hell of an investment, though, because it's 13 seasons.
Yeah, actually, okay, 13 seasons. That's crazy. Like, at that time, it was, like, 8 deep, and I think I gave out in, like, 5 or 6.
So I'll text you the seasons that you need to watch, or maybe even just, like, some episodes. They do a Scooby Natural episode, which is amazing. They do some, like, holiday themes ones mixed in there, but then you have to go back. And you got invested. You got to watch at least the last season. Yeah, it's not the best, but it closes things out, and I'm just saying. But
see, I just don't even remember. I committed to Smallville. Like, I watch all of, like, WB shows are tough to watch.
You're going to tell me you invested with that nightmare of, remember what they did with, what's the thing? The bizarre Superman, the one that you can't kill because every time.
Berserk or Bizarro?
No, what the hell? That's not his name. The one that every time you kill him, he just gets stronger because you can't actually kill him because every time, so you fight him. Oh my gosh, what the hell is the name?
I know what you're talking about.
Everybody's screaming at us on the podcast right now.
Yeah, all the people that watch Smallville.
Not Dark Side, Doomsday.
Oh, so Doomsday. Yeah.
That miserable representation of Doomsday towards the end with the spikes growing out of them all over the place. Yeah, God, that was terrible.
Well, also, like, they do the fake versions of characters. Like, they wouldn't actually give you the Flash. They gave you this, like, other guy that was, like, a version of the Flash. Like, they did bad stuff. And I didn't realize how much I hated the not having the suit thing until they did do it at the very end. And I was like, oh, yeah, this did bother me. But shout out to Tom Welling. Tom Welling was a... He was a dude, and almost no chance I go back to Supernatural. So.
He was a dude.
He was a dude. He was a great Superman. He was an awesome Superman.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, back to the waivers. Jonathan, Zach Moss, number one waiver claim, clear and cut. The other two guys you had on here, you had Michael Carter and Dearness Johnson. And I think they're interesting because it's kind of a cuffy situation, but also they were getting run. James Conner's touches going down, and Dearness Johnson has really made some plays over the last 2 weeks, but it's at the expense of Etienne getting kind of knocked out. So any notes you want to add on both Michael Carter and Dearness Johnson?
Just Michael Carter, pass catching upside. He's Antonio Gibson for them. That's really what it is. Just that really what was his true first game with them. Already out there 40% almost. So Antonio Gibson, I think they really realized that James Conner likely not going to stay 100% if they keep giving him 90% of the touches every single week. So that's where that comes into play. And then Dearness Johnson, yeah, this happened a few weeks ago where he moved in front of Tank Bigsby. And then if anything happens to Etienne's been banged up, what, for the past 3 weeks?
Yeah.
He keeps leaving the game too, which is the weird one because we talked about it on the show yesterday with Pat Mayo, and it was like he almost came out of the blue medical tent better. Like I don't know if they like injected him with something like cortisone, or like he was fixed when he came out. But anyway, point being, Dearness Johnson's in the mix if you're desperate in deeper leagues, kind of like a Tyler Allgeier. And if there's something were to happen, they clearly like Johnson better than Tank Bigsby. So
yeah. Oh man, isn't it hilarious thinking back on all the Tank Bigsby conversation? It was just hilariously not.
Oh, yeah. How amazing he was!
Oh yeah, everyone is going to supplant Etienne and get Tank. That was one of those where I was like zero interest in Tank. Zero.
You want to do that one more time?
That's what people are like. Oh, look, Tank. This is how the Tank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby. He's the one that I have to get. He said it's like an old, you know, cartoon Christmas banker. That's like there'll be no extra turkey for anybody this year. That's how that sounds. So Dearness Johnson, not quite the cuffy situation as like the Zach Mosses, but definitely out there. Let's go over to wide receiver. The top two wide receivers were given huffy faces because I completely agree. Them being even available to put on this list is hilarious, but I am also all in. Even though it didn't like quite pay off with Josh Downs, who's number one, but he had a gajillion targets. And Jaden Reed is an absolute playmaker. I feel a little bit uncomfortable as Christian Watson starting to get a little bit more involved, but like Reed is there. Jordan Love gets plenty of first, no pun intended, first reads going straight to Jaden. and they're doing end arounds and they're getting him the ball. These are both phenomenal wide receiver threes. And, you know, maybe you're in a situation where they have to be higher, but I think they're both starters every single week.
Yeah. Jaden Reed had two more carries. And so he continues to get touches out of the backfield if there's no Aaron Jones. And then you mentioned it. I talked about a few weeks ago in the game preview section that Jordan Love, near the top of the league in first read percentage, and he's been looking at Jaden Reed more times recently than even Dobbs and Christian Watson. Well, that being said, of course, it's like still messy, but I mean, Jaden Reed's been, you told me right now, I still, coming off two touchdowns, that was also the first time Christian Watson's even topped three receptions on the year,
yeah,
or had that kind of yardage since last year. So I think that you look at it and say, who do you trust more? I'd still lean Reed. Downs, you mentioned it. Downs should have had a better day with all those targets. There was just the one that should have been a touchdown that ended up, did that one get called back? Anyway, there was just some miscommunication. It just seemed like they were just a little off, Minshew and him this week. Yep. But like you said, double-digit targets, like, and that's your low end, is that you get around 50 yards still, that not going to be okay with it, you going for it. I don't know how Downs is still out there.
I completely agree with you. It you know, it's funny is I think Downs is kind of like what we saw with Addison on Monday Night Football. Like, you know, we saw tons of targets to Addison, and there was, I mean, Dobbs really stunk, but there's also just miscommunications. The same thing felt like that with Josh Downs with Gardner Minshew, but also the same target share. I mean, Downs, Michael Pittman is your trustworthy rock, but they know Downs can make big plays and they know Jaden Reed. I mean, I don't mean to lump all these guys together, but I think there's an excitement level on all of those guys that they really should be picked up. And getting into this final run here, I would have the depth of Jaden Reed and Josh Downs, but a tricky one, but I guess we clearly know the answer. If we got like, hey, Jonathan Taylor's going to miss 2 weeks and Josh Downs and Zach Moss were out there, you still have to go Zach Moss.
Right?
Yeah.
Finding running backs, 100%. And your top 15 running back, as we've seen, 100%. Yep. Doubly 100%.
So that's probably one of the only situations where we're not putting those guys in. Coming in at number 3 and 4, DeMario Douglas. I mean, he's the...
If healthy,
the best wide receiver with those quarterbacks. It's still tough, but I agree. Like, in a half or full PPR situation, like, he's going to get volume. He is the guy that gets targeted a whole bunch. Bailey Zappi did a little bit of a better job, it seemed like, distributing the ball around. So maybe we want Mac Jones, if you could say that. And Jalen Guyton, another one out there. What do you want to throw out on both Douglas and Guyton?
Guyton could be temporary, but as we saw last week when I said that Quentin Johnston, if Jalen Guyton is out there, it's not a thing. They're done with Quentin Johnston. And I'm not saying he's done as a player, but this is future potential. It's just not hitting this year. We knew he was raw. It's just not happening. The only thing where I say with Guyton might be temporary is I know Palmer's eligible to come back, I think, next week. That's not a guarantee. Like, not everybody's coming back immediately off their injuries. If it happens, obviously Palmer would step right back into the number two spot because he's the best of all remaining options. But as long as he's not back, Guyton's in play as a wide receiver 4. To go back to the other one, DeMario Douglas is basically more consistent Curtis Samuel.
That's just, yeah, great. Like, that's a great one. Yeah,
that's what I've been calling him since like day one.
I completely agree with that too. They like to work him out of the slot. They like to move him around a little bit. He's just their easy, safe target. He's kind of what like Bogman would have hoped Juju was going to be. You know what I mean? Like, he's just kind of that guy. Like, he's a good volume target guy, and I think he's a decent bet, especially a full PPR if you're doing that. And the last one is, it's a little injury dependent, but we've got two wide receiver injuries with the Saints. And they might keep both of them out. Chris Olave suffered a concussion and Rashid Shaheed had a quad issue. I think it's already being put out there that Shaheed will not play. And there's only been 2 or 3 guys over the last couple of years that have returned within the same week of suffering a concussion. Madison actually just did it and Brock Purdy did it earlier in the year, but that's it. So it is more than likely that Olave doesn't play. And that gets you back to A.T. Perry, though I do like that you threw in this other thing, because I actually think the biggest beneficiary for the Saints will be Taysom Hill overall. I think they'll use him everywhere again, but A.T. Perry could be thrust into a spot where he is the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to have to go to him. That's the biggest thing. Like, I even mentioned that in there. A.T. Perry, I said, had a higher ceiling than Rashid Shaheed because that he's a more complete wide receiver. But speaking of being raw, you know, he stepped in for Michael Thomas in that game, but always the speculation was that was mid-game. What happens the next week? And what we saw in that game was he was way down the depth chart in that game until Shahid and Olave both got hurt. And then it's A.T. Perry, Lynn Bowden, and good old Keith Kirkwood. So could it be Kirkwood? That's the thing. Like, you know, yeah, I would go for Perry, but Perry's still going to only be a wide receiver 4 or 5 because you mentioned Taysom Hill with the uptick. But Juwan Johnson comes into play. Like, I'd take a gamble if you need a tight end and Juwan Johnson getting a touchdown this week.
So those are some wide receivers if you want to take a little peek across the board. If you're looking at streaming quarterbacks, you put Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, and Russell Wilson as your streamers. In that order level, is there any break in confidence like you really trust? Because I don't trust Baker as far as he can throw it.
Against Jacksonville, I don't love it. And that's the biggest thing there. But if you're looking, the break would be, I like Russ because of this week and next week. Like, yeah, he's actually got a good matchup if people are looking at week 14 and don't have Kyler. Or you have a situation like that next week with what's the other team on the bye next week? Why can't I think of it all of a sudden? Sam Howell.
Oh, so good old Sam Howell.
And actually, you don't even want Sam Howell after the bye. So if you're like Russell Wilson, Jordan Love, pass this week. The problem is Russell Wilson this week with Denver at Houston. Does he need to pass so much? I can see that kind of play. But going forward, I would say Russell Wilson's your floor play. Jordan Love and that schedule is enticing. He's only got one bad game, really, the rest of the way. But it's Jordan Love, so you might get 20, you might get 5. So that's the way. Like, some even asked, who would you rather have, Russell Wilson or Jordan Love? If I'm going pure upside, it's Jordan Love. I hate to straddle the fence, but you evaluate your team. If you need upside and you're like, man, I'm going to scratch my way into the playoffs and I just need to get lucky and hit home runs, it's Jordan Love. If you have a good team and you're like, hey, you know what? I just need to make plans for no Sam Howell, then it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and with the bipocalypse, if you were in need of streaming a quarterback this week, it's also just not great. Like, it's not, the options and the matchups are not super awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty gross. I was looking at him.
Matt Stafford, if you want to do that, that might be one of the tippy top ones as well. But Baker, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson jump in here. And if you're looking at tight ends, Pat Freiermuth, Kate Otten, Tyler Higbee, all his top options. I would argue that Freiermuth is like a top 5 overall pick, especially if you have any like need of a tight end. You know, if you were organizing this in like, what are the priorities of stuff? I think he jumps in over quite a few running backs just because like he's probably tight end. He's at least a top 10 tight end rest of season.
I'm trying to think if I could. I think he'd be on the cusp.
Like, who would you rather have, him or Evan Ingram?
Evan Ingram.
For sure.
It's just the consistency. And it's tight end, so whatever. But
yeah,
it comes down to, you just, we joked about it on, I forget, one of the two shows I did yesterday. I said, man, if this is the threshold of success for Kenny Pickett at this point, congratulations, you threw for the most yards this year and no touchdowns and went 24 or 33. Yeah, good completion percentage, decent yards, okay yards, no touchdowns. Like, that's a low bar, dude. And the point being, jokes aside, is this is going to continue to be, what is this team? Run first, probably even second, probably even third. Like, it's just Najee Harris and Jalen Warren are going to be options. So I just don't trust week in and week out that Freiermuth is going to even be reliable when you have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens involved. Especially, by the way, Deontay Johnson not benched after just staring at the fumble on the ground.
I can't even fathom it. I can't even get me started. He wasn't contrite about it. Like, he had nothing on Twitter after, was more kind of going after people. That Tomlin didn't reprimand him in any way, that they let that go, is wild to me. It is crazy.
That was shocking to me.
The only other thing was the first game with Matt Canada being fired, Pat was featured heavily and Kenny Pickett wanted to throw to him. Maybe it was specific to this game matchup, but it'd be something to watch. If you don't have, you know, a Laporta or a Kincaid or a Kittle or one of the top guys, and you're in more of this streaming market, I'd be willing to go a little bit harder that Pat finishes out really strong. But, you know, this next week, it might be really important to see like what the usage is, because it could fall off because, like you said,
easily switch. Jacksonville doesn't have a great schedule either.
Yeah. And they got great pass catchers and the running backs are phenomenal. So there you go. Those are your streamers, your waiver wire ads. Zach Moss live into the show, becoming the number one piece for the week. There you go. So very fun. Now go over to The Athletic right now. You guys, if you guys don't already have a subscription, sign up so you get access to this in the ranks. Hopefully you did take advantage of the Black Friday sale because it was phenomenal. You will be able to catch Brandon Funston and myself here in just a couple days talking about week 13 ranks. We'll be looking at Jake's ranks, how they finalize, probably some Zach Moss as well. So make sure you are continuedlessly subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss any of it. Find Jake on Twitter, All In Kid. Find me at Is It The Welsh. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.